Their family arrived from Germany in the 1850s with one of their children. When he became an adult, he started a business, and now that business is still in existence today. It's Dow Furniture. Kara and Ryan from Dow Furniture join us in studio, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program. It's the business of family business, telling the story of family businesses all across the St. Louis region. So, Ryan, I'll start with you. Dow Furniture, can you tell me a little bit about what you guys do?
Yeah, so we are a furniture retailer in West St. Louis County, and we carry quality American-made products, a lot with custom options, and we have a staff of interior designers that can help people sort through all of the options to have the furniture of their dreams.
Yeah. Where are you located?
We are at 15424 Manchester Road in Ellisville, Missouri.
What's that by?
We are across the street from the Schnucks in Baldwin. We're technically in Ellisville. And directly to our west is Ferracci's Pizza.
Oh, okay. Do you guys eat there?
Yeah, we eat there pretty often.
Would say you put in the long hours, that's an easy option for you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
You say, okay, American-made furniture. So certain trends we've seen, depending on where people, do they normally seek American-made furniture? Is that like a destination, a reason why people come to you?
Yeah, it is. It is quite the draw. In today's age, there's quite a bit of imported furniture that is of a little bit lower quality than what we carry. Now, we do carry some imports. We're about 80% American-made. Mm-hmm. We do carry a few imported products. We're pretty selective on those. But yeah, the American-made story is generally a story of quality. It's also a story of sustainability. There's a lot less, you know, fuel involved in getting product to us than it's not being shipped from overseas. And then we can do the custom options in a lead time that is reasonable, generally 6 to 8 weeks. We do have some quick ship options in 4 weeks, where if you custom order from overseas, you're 6 months plus.
Oh, wow. Yeah. With the American-made furniture, do you know where it's coming from? Are there any regional furniture makers here?
Yeah, it's crazy. North Carolina is where most of it comes from. Mm-hmm. The upholstery, at least, the sofas and sectionals, chairs, that all comes from, pretty much all of it comes from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And then we have some case good plants, wood product, that come from New York, Vermont. We have one from Missouri. So that can be a little bit all over, but North Carolina is kind of the hub.
I knew a guy that did upholstery. He said, it's a very difficult thing to do right. He said, if you're talented in upholstery, you'll have a lot of work. You know, what do you do at Dow Furniture?
So I am in charge of all of our sales and marketing is generally what I do. It's a small business, so wear a lot of hats, but those are my two main roles.
Yeah, and your sister Kara is here as well. Hi, Kara.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you do with Dow Furniture?
I oversee all of our customer service and our warehouse operations. And again, like Ryan, we all kind of have our hand in a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But my main day today is customer service, order entry, and warehouse.
That has to be important. Because he mentioned that when you walk in, there are people that help you when it comes to design, figuring out what works for your spaces. So I'm guessing the customer experience is very important.
Absolutely. We feel that's one of the things that sets us apart from a big box store. You know, you can come in and you can talk to one of the Dows. You can, you know, feel like family. We treat our employees like family and our customers like family. So it's very important to us that they have an exceptional experience when they walk in.
One of the neat features about this is how long Dow Furniture has been in business. What year was it founded?
It was founded in 1894, and in October of 2019, we celebrated 125 years.
That's amazing. That is so neat. What generation are you guys?
We are the fifth generation.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to that. What does that mean for you to be a fifth generation in a family business?
I take a lot of pride in that. I was actually able to work with my grandfather a little bit, and he was already retired by the time I stepped in, but he actually talked my dad into paying me more money when I first started, and so it's really been a joy. My grandpa used to come in on Mondays to visit us and to work with my dad and my family, and to see all the things throughout the years, even before I started working there, to see my dad and the passion he had for furniture and design and and the business. And my grandfather, until the day he died, was still talking about the business, thinking about the business, and really caring about what, you know, the business was doing for our family.
Oh, that's great. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, fifth generation business. That's pretty rare anymore.
It is pretty rare. And the research says, at least for the first three generations, only one third make the generational transition at each generation. So if we extrapolate that, only 1% of all family businesses ever started would make it to the fifth generation. And in this case, because Ryan and Kara's father owns 100% of the stock, which I happen to know they haven't said that yet, we would look at this as a generation one to generation two in terms of dynamics.
Mm.
But actually, it's generation four to generation five. But the factual definition and transition may be different than the transition in terms of family dynamics.
Right. So 1894, 125 years in the community. Where did it all start? Because from what I understand, would be how many great-grandfathers ago would that be? Let's see, great-great-grandfather, is it?
Yes, that's correct.
Came here, wasn't born in this country.
So Ferdinand Dow, our great-great-grandfather, he was born in Germany, and he came here with his parents in the 1860s when he was fairly young. And then he started the business in 1894. He was working on the streetcars here in St. Louis as carpenter. And there was a worker strike, and he had a family to feed. So he started selling his own cabinets. And when the strike was over, he decided to keep selling cabinets instead of going back to work for the streetcars.
It's the last time the streetcars worked in St. Louis.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that's a neat story. So out of necessity, and he found the opportunity to do that, but he already had the skill of the woodworking because that was his trade. He was able to work in that, start the family business that way. Wow.
Yeah, and actually we still have one of his cabinets in the store. So it's over 100 years old. It sits in our office up high so no one touches it. But yeah, we still have some of his work with us.
What does that mean? You can look at the craftsmanship of something 150 years ago and learn from that. That means something.
Yeah, I mean, the quality story, again, is something we stand by. That's what has made our business. And it's really important to us to carry on that. And these are pieces of furniture that people live with.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like our family business, they often will pass them down to family members. So that quality craftsmanship is kind of a key to what we do and the pride we take in our business.
So with him, he also had a son that got into the business after that with him? Or do you know how it went to generation two?
Yes. So Fred, his son, took over, or not didn't take over, but came into the business. I'm not sure exactly what year he came into the business, but he came into the business. I do know he paid $8 to buy into the business. He was working for a bank, and that was his investment.
What year do you think that was? We can do an inflation calculator and find
out. I'm not 100% sure of when that was. But, yeah, he was in the business and ran it, made it through the Great Depression. And then our grandfather, Robert, took over the business. And then our dad entered the business in 1975, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know why your dad got into it? Was it always that the family business was going to take the, you know, he was going to be able to go into that line of work? Was that always his destiny for him?
No, not at all, actually.
Yeah. He needed a job.
Yeah, he needed a job. It's the last three generations have a very similar story.
Mm-hmm.
My grandpa said he wouldn't take over the business, and he did. And then my dad said that mm-hmm. as well. I'm similar to my dad. We both have education degrees, and mm-hmm. neither of us became teachers. We both came into the business. So my dad, yeah, he got his degree in education, and he was going to teach high school social studies. And he saw what he could make as a social studies teacher and the amount of work that took, and he ended up coming into the business.
Wow. Your grandpa was welcoming, though. He probably wanted all along your dad to get into it.
Both my parents, and I know that my grandpa was like this, they were a little hesitant about us coming in the business because running a business is not easy work. It's mm-hmm. a lot of hours. And there is, you know, sometimes stress. It puts stress on your family. Mm-hmm. And my grandpa saw a lot of that. He kind of had to be the one that told family members they couldn't be in the business because it wasn't big enough for them.
Mm.
So I think there was some of that with my dad coming in the business. He wanted to make sure that this was a decision he wanted to make to come in the business. But quickly after my dad came into the business, my grandpa did retire. He was ready to be done. So, yes, there was some relief with my dad coming into the business.
Really? So it wasn't that long right after? Not a lot of transition time there.
No. And, I mean, my grandfather was probably more passionate about the furniture than he was the other aspects of the business.
Yeah.
So he was ready to transition my dad. And my dad is a huge people person. He's great about relationship building. And so he was all about stepping in and serving our customers.
Yeah. So, Kara, you actually joined first at Dow Furniture.
I did.
And your grandpa was already out of the business, at least the day-to-day aspect of
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
But he was still very interested. He paid attention to what was going on.
Yes, he did. Like I said, he would come in on Monday mornings. We would all kind of sit together with him and just talk about how the business did over the weekend, what was going on with things. And he always had lots of questions and was always curious and interested in what we were doing.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I know every family is a little bit different, but I would say a lot of times you find that a retirement isn't necessarily a retirement. They're always kind of, keeping an eye of what's going on with their business.
Every business owner wants to see the business succeed after their watch. And I do think it's a good sign of an effective leader is what does the business do on their watch and what does the business do after their watch so that they prepare a successor and do they make the transition. And while they may not run the business day to day, if you get to mentor family members, particularly if you can skip a generation, it's like grandparents and grandchildren, they always get along very well.
We love family business stories, and we'll continue this one with Dow Furniture next on The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And this is a rare instance when it comes to family businesses. Not many make it this far. Five generations, wow, with Dow Furniture. Two-thirds of family businesses do not make that generational transition. And this is where CMA Consulting can help. When was the last time the members of your family even discussed how to apply insights into the business? Because for every Dow Furniture where there's five generations in the family line that have managed and run and owned a business, there are so many other ones that have fell off for many different reasons. And a lot of family businesses face problems in different ways. That's why you need to have someone you can talk to, someone you can consult with when it comes to making those important decisions, like who's going to be the next leader of this business? Are they ready to be an effective owner? If you haven't started those conversations, you better start them early. That's one thing I've learned from this program. The earlier you start these discussions, the better off your family business will be. And that's where CMA Consulting comes in. They can help facilitate not only those discussions, but make sure you're guided in the right direction to help increase those chances of a successful generational transition. Why don't you look them up online? Their website is cmaconsult.com, cmaconsult.com. Or if you want to, you can give them a call at 314-721-1860. And it's one of the easiest questions and the best questions you can ask. Dan Bean, what can you do to help my family business? Give him a call, look him up online, CMA Consulting, cmaconsult.com. We tell family business stories on this program, The Business of Family Business, and we're always looking for new family businesses to highlight on The Business of Family Business. This is where you could reach out to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, cmaconsult.com. Just drop them an email, go to their contact page, and let them know that you've listened to this program on KMOX and you have a great family business story to share. We continue our conversation with Kara and Ryan from Dow Furniture, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. If I'm looking at the timeline correctly, your father's been in for about 40-some years, almost 50 years at Dow Furniture.
That's correct.
And how long have you worked there?
I've been there 12 years.
What have you learned from your father during that time?
I have learned a lot from my dad. When I started in the business, I came in just because I needed a new job. Similar story. I wasn't really looking to run anything. And I started in customer service and dealing with claims. You know, I'm talking to the people that may not always be the most happy. And he really taught me how to service a high-end customer, that we're going to take care of them. We're going to do right by them. They've made an investment in this piece, and we're going to make sure that it is functioning and performing as it should. And he just really taught me how to service them and take care of everything that we need.
Yeah. And Ryan, what was it like for you to join the company? What made you decide to do that? You said it was very similar to your dad, your grandpa, but really, what was the thing that was your deciding factor?
Well, similar. I came in because I had graduated college and I knew I didn't want to teach. I needed a job.
Mm-hmm.
And coming into the business, I started working on our sales floor. But quickly, I did decide that this is something I want to do for a long time. And for me, it was the pride that I took in the heritage of our family business. Mm-hmm. And similar to what Kara said, my dad taught us to take care of our customers. And our business, we sell products, we sell furniture, but it is all about the people. It's about the people we work with. It's about the customers. And that quickly became like a much bigger picture to me than selling a sofa. And that really excited me to carry on that legacy.
Yeah. So what does your dad do today? Is he hands-on when it comes to ownership? Does he have an active role?
He's trying to step back as much as possible to allow Ryan and I to establish our leadership and to really, you know, get our hands in there. But he does come in on Mondays for a family meeting and pretty much leaves shortly after that. But this year, he is kind of going to do some prospecting for us and networking with some outside sources, you know, things that we just may not have the time in the day to get to. So he's trying to stay out of the store, but still help bring business in.
Right. Strategically speaking, when you are talking about the business, do the three of you get together, or is it something that he trusts you guys to make a decision on?
Typically, it's there's three of us, but it's not him. My mom is usually the one. She's still there 3 days a week. She takes care of all of our HR and all the stuff Ryan and I don't want to do. So, but she is often the one helping making a lot of the day-to-day decisions. If there's any major decision with the company, Ryan and I typically like to run it by him. We want his experience, his expertise. We don't have to. He has given us the authority to make the decisions, but we choose to.
Yeah. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, you know, I want to talk about their approach on how they make these decisions as two siblings. They are given some freedom, but they still, of course, want to make sure they're making the right. I want to get your understanding on that approach.
So given how they define their roles, they've got a clear distinction between their roles, and that's the beginning of a great relationship. And if you think of it that way, Ryan's got his decisions. We'll call it Ryan's buckets of decisions. Kara has her buckets of decisions. And there's probably a third one. They haven't said this, but there's probably a third one where they make it together or make it with their parents. And that is one of the most effective ways to define roles and decision-making in a family business.
So, Ryan, maybe you can tell me what makes for quality furniture. Because, you know, as people have different ways that they shop for furniture anymore in a modern way. Sometimes they like the, you know, do it yourself. Let's get a screwdriver and follow the instructions. Some people like quality furniture that they know is going to last a lifetime. Kind of explain to me what makes for quality furniture.
Yeah. So quality furniture essentially comes down to the construction, the way it is put together. So in case pieces, wood product, tables, chairs, bedroom pieces, often you can see the joinery. So one thing a lot of people do know is like on a dresser, you open the drawers and you want to look for that dovetailed dresser. So that's a sign that that took a craftsman to put it together. Mm-hmm. The way that a chair leg is attached to it. Often the leg goes all the way up into the back of the chair. That's going to create a more stable experience, something that's going to last a lot longer. The materials that it's made of. Often what we do is solid wood. You know, just with trends, we're doing a lot more with metals and, you know, stone top tables, things like that. But just the way they are joined together. When people are shopping, I encourage them. We don't have things to hide, so I encourage them at our store, look underneath. You can see how it comes together. There's a joinery there, not just a screw.
Yeah.
In upholstery, it's a little harder because it is covered with fabric.
Mm-hmm.
So questions that people should ask is, again, is it a hardwood frame? Hardwood frame is what people want to look for. The way it's put together, again, the corner blocked, glued and screwed is kind of the way that the frame will come together. And then the spring up of the sofa or the chair or the sectional would be, you want it to have a some sort of spring system. So we have two different types we usually do, like an 8-way hand tied, which is the most labor intensive. Also, they've been making things like that for hundreds of years. Then there's like a sinuous wire, which is going to go from the front of the sofa to the back of the sofa. It's still going to be guaranteed for life. It sits a little different, but it's a little lower price point, but still a very good quality.
Mm-hmm.
And then tailoring, you want to look at if it's a pattern. Does the pattern match up, or is it wonky? Are the seams straight? Those are things that you can see on a sofa that can help tell you if there's something nice on the inside.
Yeah, I wrote down eight-way hand tie. That's a nice term. Now, that seems like some insider talk. How did you learn these things? Was it all on the job, or were there things that maybe your parents sprinkled along the way when you're growing up?
Our parents really did try to keep the business away from us growing up. I mean, I was surrounded by nice furniture. I mean, we both were. So so there are things I picked up with on. But honestly, it was either my first day or second day. Right when I started, one of the first things my dad did was sit down with me and went over construction features, because the quality is the basis of what we do and the products we carry. And so I learned directly from my dad about the construction features. We have little samples of things throughout the store so we can also show customers, but that's how he showed me. But yeah, that's how I learned.
Yeah. What's the biggest difference that you would see? So when someone comes in and they may look at some of this furniture and they don't know things like the eight-way hand tie, you know, because when you were explaining that to me, I thought, I've never thought to look for something like that. So someone that's a novice, someone that may not be in that world, you just brought up a lot of things that people can look for. They probably still don't understand it, but they kind of know good quality when they see it. But at the same time, they're probably surrounded by things that are imitating good quality that they don't really know if it's good or bad. And a lot of times they need someone to maybe guide them through that. So do you find that when people come into the store, Dow Furniture, you almost have to do a lot of educating, give them an idea of, okay, this is why we do things the way we do. This is why this is a quality product. This is why this is going to last a long time. Do you find yourself giving a lot of pointers and education to people?
Yeah, education is a big part of what we do. One of our brands we carry is Stickley Furniture, and they construct a dresser in a way that no one else really does. But the gist of it is, it is constructed so well that you can stand in the drawer. No one else can do that.
Wow.
So that's one thing I encourage all of our designers to do, is to demonstrate.
To stand in the
drawer.
Stand
on the drawer. but it shows the customer that this is made very, very well. And then it leads into, we can discuss how it's constructed. But education is a big part of what we do in when our customers come in.
How's that possible? Stand in the drawer.
Well, it is. The drawers have it's a wood glide. So everyone wants soft close. Soft close is great. We have things with soft close. But it's a wood-on-wood glide, so it will last longer. Metal can bend. Wood-on-wood is actually going to file itself down over time and actually get better with use. But it's the side of the drawer is the weight-bearing, and then it has a center guide so it doesn't wobble. But because you have two weight-bearing parts on each side, you can put a ton of weight on it.
It's pretty smart. Don't go anywhere. More with Ryan and Kara from Dow Furniture. Along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I'm your host, Ryan Recker. This is The Business of Family Business on KMOX. We love to hear new family business stories, and there's so many great stories to share. I think we are 75 episodes into this show since we launched in 2017, and we're always looking for new ones. If you have a great family business story to share, maybe you patronize a great family business, how about you let them know about this program Saturdays on KMOX and let them know they can contact CMA Consulting, because we're always looking for new family businesses to highlight. CMAconsult.com is their website. Just reach out to them in the contact section and they'll let you know how to become involved. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. In the Business of Family Business this weekend, talking to Dow Furniture with Kara and Ryan in studio, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Kara, I wanted to ask you, the way the internet may have changed things, you get people emailing you questions or people asking about furniture. Are they pre-shopping in some cases?
Absolutely. And as far as education, we are experiencing more of an educated customer because of the internet. They're able to access some of these features. They are able to see a video of an eight-way hand tied being performed on a sofa. So in some ways, they're more educated coming into our store. But they're pre-shopping. We're seeing that they're coming to our website first, or they're calling. I've seen, you know, this sofa on your website. Tell me more about it. Can I come in and sit on it? Those kinds of things.
Yeah. Do you also find that people sometimes come in and they really don't know what they're looking for? They're waiting for that inspiration.
there is always that customer, but we do believe that they didn't just show up in a furniture store. You know, typically there's something in the back of their mind that they are looking to replace in their home, whether they tell us what it is or not. But typically we feel they've come in with a purpose.
Yeah, they're not there for the Wi-Fi.
Right, exactly.
they have a need, you know.
Yes.
What are some of those trends you're seeing in the furniture business anymore? The things that may have changed in the time that you've been in the business?
One of the trends we're seeing is kind of different seasonality of buying patterns. First quarter used to be one of our busiest quarters. It still is busy, but fourth quarter has been a much busier time for us. So the buying patterns have changed a little bit. Again, we keep talking about quality, but that is something that in the consumer's mind, there is disposable furniture out there for them to buy that is a lot less money. And that's another trend that we're seeing. Good thing is there's been a lot of exposés on some of that disposable furniture and how it's really terrible for the environment. And so there is hopefully a trend coming back to quality furniture, but that having furniture for 5 years and throwing it away is something we're seeing that is a little disheartening.
Oh, yeah. It's very common. A lot of the big box stores, so, you know, the Walmarts, the Targets, IKEA, of course, is a big one. Is that what you mean by disposable furniture, the ones that you would buy in a box with instructions and a little socket wrench or whatever you need for it?
Yeah, that is essentially what I'm talking about. Things that we're talking about, materials that are not made of wood-like product that is mostly glue.
Things like,
yeah.
Explain that to me. So if you were to pick up something like that, you say wood-like, really it's not solid wood. It's just like this particle stuff that they glue together.
Yeah, it's essentially particle board, and then they'll put some sort of wood-looking material on top. It would be a veneer. Mm-hmm. I mean, a veneer is just means that something is glued to another piece. We do have wood veneers in our store on some things. It gives you a look you can't get sometimes with solid wood. But in these disposable furniture, the veneer is often a picture of wood printed on something.
Right.
So it's not wood at all.
Yeah. And then if you move it from one place to another, it's almost guaranteed to fall apart. And you're right about that. So the average lifespan of something like that is very low. And you're saying that because of the waste involved with that, it's causing a problem. You see a lot of that. That's one of the trends right now.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing a lot of people being a little more environmentally conscious and what they're putting back into the earth. And yeah, if you have a dresser that you can't use after 5 years, that is a big piece of waste, not environmentally friendly.
Yeah, it's an interesting generational thing because I think about my grandparents when they, you know, like grandpa comes back from the war, they buy their first house. They buy their furniture that lasted them their entire lifetime. It's like they found themselves in these situations, well, outside of the couches, things they'd sit on, but the dressers, the tables and things they had for the longest time because the things that they bought weren't these disposable things that were only meant to last for a couple of years. And I think those are the things that a lot of times families look at as heirlooms, like they want to be able to keep those sort of things. And there's a reason why they were made to last is because of the craftsmanship that was put into it. And people still do that today. And it's probably much better to look at the long term than it is the short term. You probably want to look at things that you're going to want to be able to keep, invest in, as opposed to something that you know that's going to break sometime in your life. And then you'll be thinking to yourself, well, why did I buy that?
Yeah. And if you have to buy it 3 and 4 times, you should have just invested in something nicer in the first place.
Yeah. You are combating these type of trends. What do you do when it comes to Dow furniture to, you know, combat that? Is it something that you've seen in recent years that, is it just education? Are there other tactics or are there things that you're using to make sure that quality furniture is appealing?
Yeah. I mean, it is an education piece. Mm-hmm. We are doing new tactics as far as we are online. We're putting a lot out on social media. We have a website where there's a lot of information. But yeah, it is the biggest thing is education and letting people know that sometimes it's not a whole lot more money to buy a nicer piece that's going to last longer, where in someone's head it's like, oh, that's so expensive. But it is affordable. Well, and another thing we do is you talked about putting furniture together. Well, most of our pieces come to us already put together, but we receive it in our warehouse and prep everything and deliver it to the customer's home, and it's done. So the customer doesn't have to put it together. They don't have to worry about it. We've inspected it. We've touched up anything that may have happened in shipping. We take care of all that headache that is involved there.
Do you have an official inspector?
Yeah, our warehouse manager, his name's Dwayne. He's great. We love him. he inspects everything, and he is our service tech as well. So he's been trained by our manufacturers to take care of any sort of blemish that might happen.
So the manufacturers actually help. So when they ship something to you, as opposed to saying we got to send it back, they're kind of helping, like, okay, this is what you need to do. They can help on that aspect. Probably saves a lot of time that way.
Yeah, it saves a lot of time. And again, these pieces are big and put together, so it's not easy to transport.
Yeah.
And so if we can get it done locally, it saves a lot of time, and we can get things into the customer's home quicker.
And the key is get that done before you put it in the house. You want to make sure the experience is right, so when the furniture goes and it gets to the place in the house where they've envisioned it in their mind, the last thing you want for them to do is say, oh, look at this, and then have that negative experience associated with it.
Yeah. Well, we always tell our delivery guys that they are our last touch to the customer, and so that experience is more important than anything else we do, because that's the last impression they have, and that's going to make it if our customer comes back or not.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we have a great warehouse staff, a great delivery staff, and some of the biggest compliments we get is about our delivery staff. Mm. So we really, really take pride in that.
Yeah. It's not easy moving furniture. I'm guessing some of these things are pretty heavy.
Yes, very heavy. And I feel for our guys when we do floor display moves. That's some of their hardest days. They're moving heavy furniture all over the store. Mm-hmm. And I look at them and I'm like, I'm so thankful for you that I'm not doing this.
Multiple stairs up, down. There's the geography in St. Louis is weird. There's a lot of hills, things built in, things not built in. It can get tricky sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Kara at Dow Furniture, I guess I should ask you about this too, the customer service aspect of it. That's got to be a huge bonus for you guys that not only are you inspecting, you're making sure everything's right, but on the end point when people are delivering, that, I mean, every detail is filled out for that customer experience.
Absolutely. That is what we pride ourselves on. It is very important for us that they have an experience that is incredible. Once that furniture gets in their home, they are wowed by what has arrived. And, you know, any blemish or mistake is not going to make them wowed. And so we make a really big point to try and take care of anything we can and make sure that it's right when they get it.
It's kind of a weird question. What are the big woods that people use to build furniture anymore? Is there like a standard? Because, you know, everyone talks about the oak or whatever. Is there something that they make furniture out of today that's more common when it comes to the wood?
Really, there isn't. I mean, there are a few main wood species that are used. Oak is one that is used quite a bit. Maple. Mm-hmm. I was saying we have some imports. We have a Canadian line that makes a lot of things out of birch. Mm-hmm. Maple, oak, cherry, those are the main ones. But people want interesting, unique looks all the time, so they use different things.
Yeah.
Walnut actually is becoming more and more popular, and something that's interesting that I really, really found out this year is walnut. The biggest exporter of walnut is Missouri.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, and there's a tax incentive for people to have a walnut grove.
Oh.
So,
well, how about that? Walnut groves. I love that. It sounds like a neighborhood, doesn't it?
Well, we actually have a collection called Walnut Grove, but it comes from one of our vendors out of New York.
Yeah, if they're going to build a new subdivision somewhere, Walnut Grove would be an awesome name for it. We'll continue one last time with the story of Dow Furniture. It's the business of family business on KMOX. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and this program presented by CMA Consulting. You know that running a family business has a lot of perks, but it also has a lot of stresses and a lot of decisions, because as you become an owner of any business, you have to make that decision at some point in your life. Am I going to retire? How am I going to retire? Is there someone that will take over the business? Maybe there isn't someone in the family line that even has interest. Let me tell you about this. CMA Consulting leads a multidisciplinary team to help family businesses unify the next generation and develop them to become effective owners. Of all the different businesses we've talked to on this show, so many of them say the exact same thing. I didn't want to pressure the next generation to get in, but I was really crossing my fingers and I was really hoping that they would. In a lot of instances, the family members, they do come into the business at some point, but are they ready to take that leadership role? Are they ready to take an ownership role? Do they have the know-how? And do they need a little extra help? And this is where CMA Consulting could really come in handy. You're able to lay out some of the challenges, and they'll put a plan together and give you a big picture view of how to make that generational transition successful. because so many of them don't work out. And you love your business, you love the people that work there, and you want to make sure you put that business in the best possible seats in order to continue for many, many more generations to come. How about you contact CMA for a complimentary, no-obligation meeting to discuss your family business or an upcoming generational transition? Their website is cmaconsult.com, or you can call them at 314-721-1860. CMA Consult, the website every family business should know, cmaconsult.com. We tell family business stories Saturdays on KMOX, and it's a pleasure to have you here today. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. This is called The Business of Family Business. And if you caught this episode maybe halfway through, the episode is online right now at KMOX.com. In the podcast section, look up our show, The Business of Family Business. And you can find this one with Dow Furniture. Kara and Ryan representing Dow Furniture today, and Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program. If you were to walk into Dow Furniture, kind of give a visual of what you would see. What type of furniture do you have out for people to inspect and look at and experience for themselves?
So as far as style goes, we have a huge range of style. We carry everything from modern to very traditional. And we try to have a nice balance of different styles, different vignettes. So the store is set out that way. At the front of the store, one part is traditional, one part is contemporary. And then towards the as they walk towards the back of the store, we kind of get into some of our programs. We have an area of recliners. And then towards the back, we have bedrooms and things like that.
It sounds like your father, your mother, of course, trusting you a lot more with the day-to-day, the operation of the business. Have you guys discussed what's going to be your guys' future when it comes to the ownership of Dow Furniture?
Well, we don't know for sure, but we assume that it will be 50-50. And I often joke that I'm going to get 51% since I'm the older sibling.
And she'll probably take care of our parents in their old age. So.
Yeah.
Do they, you said they keep giving you more responsibility and they allow you to operate the business. Does it seem like you guys have got in this groove, or are there always these curveballs that are thrown at you? It seems maybe there's something out there that you never expected.
I feel like there's probably always going to be something you never expected. My dad even said, you know, until he retired, even now, when we tell him about things, it's always something new. But I do feel just a confidence. Last year was our first full year running the business, and going into 2020, I feel like, okay, we got our first year under our belt and we learned a ton, and there's still more to learn. But I think we'll always be growing and learning as things are changing in the business.
Mm-hmm. What have you guys learned about each other that you didn't know until you got into business with each other? Were you pretty close before you started working together?
Yeah, Ryan and I have always been close. I mean, as kids, we fought like cats and dogs. But once we both moved out of the house, we have had a great relationship ever since. And, you know, like we talked about, we're kind of in different departments, and we have very different strengths and weaknesses that very much complement one another. And yeah, we get along exceptionally well for as much as we see each other, because not only do we see each other at work, you know, you got family birthday parties and all holidays and all that stuff outside of work as well.
Yeah.
I think one thing that is kind of surprising is when we come to decisions that we need to make together, we almost instinctively know what to do. We look at each other and we're like, yeah, let's do this. I mean, the last person we had to hire, we interviewed them, and as soon as they left the door, we looked at each other and were like, yeah, that's the one. And we both did it instantly. So that kind of thing happens really frequently. And it's nothing I would have known growing up that we click so well, but we do.
How many employees do you guys have?
We have 12 employees total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's from warehouse, inspection, sales, everything.
Yes. Yeah, that is our entire staff.
You're great. And when you look at the demand for furniture right now, is there a huge demand? Is there, like you said, the fourth quarter seems to be where a lot of people are buying furniture anymore?
Yeah. I mean, the demand for furniture, I think, will always be there. Mm-hmm. I mean, people need something to sit on and something to put down a drink, and, you know, that will be there. But yeah, fourth quarter was our busiest quarter last year. We have started off very busy here in the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. So
that's great.
Yeah.
What does your dad do in his retirement?
Well, he golfs a lot.
When the weather's nice.
Yeah, he's been trying to keep himself busy. He is really involved with the church, and he travels. So yeah, he's keeping busy.
He's enjoying it.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, gives him that opportunity.
Yeah, the you can look at him and tell that he's not stressed.
With you guys being the fifth generation, is there any hope for a sixth generation at Dow Furniture?
Well, the sixth generation is alive and well. I have three little girls ranging in age from 5 all the way down to my youngest will be 2 in February.
Aww.
So, yeah, they're here. But I'm going to try just like my parents did with us. They're around it. They will be exposed to it. We treat them how to treat their furniture. But I'm not going to push it on them. It'll be their choice. And, of course, I'll be overjoyed if they do want to join us someday. But there won't be the pressure.
If someone's interested in learning more about what you guys do, I'm sure they can walk in and talk to you, but they probably have other ways to reach you, too. They can look you up online, probably drop you a message that way.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. What's your guys' website?
It's daufurniture.com, daufurniture.com.
And what are they going to find there? Lots of great pictures, yeah. Things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, on our website, we have quite a bit of the product that we have in the store. We have stock imagery and we have lots of information about our different vendors and quality of the story. You can see a little history overview of our company as well.
125-year-old company.
Yep.
Now in the fifth generation. Pretty remarkable. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to get your impressions of what you heard today from Dow Furniture.
This is another great story, Ryan, of a family coming to this country 150-plus years ago with one of the youngsters when he grew up starting a business. 1894, started a business for a very unique reason. The company he worked for was on strike, so he had to feed his family and started and then continued and never looked back. So that business has gone through 4 additional generations all the way to G5. Kara and Ryan are G5. They have complementary skills, they have complementary roles, and they designed a very effective way to run the business, and that would seem to position Dow Furniture to have a great future.
Kara and Ryan from Dow Furniture, I'm so glad you guys came in and shared your story on the business of family business. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you
so much
for having us.